This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, and I am delighted to be with you today. So very happy to spend this time with you today and every weekday, Monday through Friday, at this same time on this same station, as we discuss issues of importance to your life and your faith. We have holy conversation together Monday through Friday, and oh my goodness, you know, I'll tell you, it invigorates me, it edifies me, it lifts me up, it puts my eyes on our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given us the greatest gift of all, salvation, by way of that salvific act on Calvary's Hill. So it's always a marvelous time together right here on Women of Grace Live, and we love for you to participate. We do, we do, we do. And so I am extending a personal invitation to each one of you to give us a call today. I've got a toll-free number for you. It's the same one we use every day. If you mark it down, then you don't even have to listen to the numbers that I'm giving because you've got it at the ready. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us right here. We've got Matt Kabensky on the phones today, and he's delighted to answer your call and to get your question or comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement up on the board for me so I can take it, address it, and we can talk about it, and we can get the insights from our broader group of individuals listening to us today. We always love your interaction. I can't tell you how many times, you know, someone will call in with a particular situation or a difficulty or struggle that they're going through, or just a general question that they might have about the faith, and I'll give my answer, but then you'll call in and you'll give your response to that. And, you know, I grow from those moments, and I'm sure that everybody else does too. So, you know, you're as much of a, what do I want to say, inspirer on this program as you are a listener. And we welcome your insights. We welcome those inspirations that the Holy Spirit gives you. We welcome hearing about those moments in your own life where you were caught in a similar kind of a moment and the Holy Spirit rescued you and came to your aid, or our Blessed Lady, you know, was efficacious in your regard. You know, that's all very helpful stuff. I think of that passage from Corinthians, and, you know, I never know if it's one or two. One of these days, maybe on the other side of the veil, I'll get those two books straightened out in my mind. You know, which is in which. But this one, I know it's in the first chapter of either 1 or 2 Corinthians. But St. Paul talks with us about something, and I think he gives us great insight. And I've quoted this before, but it bears repeating, and it bears reminding ourselves about. And as you know, I'm a big proponent of memorizing sacred scripture to the extent that you can. Start with the little pithy kinds of passages, and then, you know, as your mind becomes adjusted to memorizing again, something that many people don't do once they graduate school, you know, the fact the matter is, then, you know, with that facility begins to be awakened and enlivened, and it becomes easier to memorize a little bit longer passages. But this one is so important. And I think about this sometimes when, you know, things are bearing down on me and I'm feeling a whole lot of pressure, or we've got, you know, something that occurs in the family and we didn't expect it. It says this, St. Paul says this, God comforts us in all our afflictions. And if you repeat that right now, you'll start the process of memorization. So I'll say it again. God comforts us in all our afflictions that we might be a consolation to others who are similarly afflicted, that we might be a consolation to others who are similarly afflicted. So think about that for a minute. God comforts us. Yes, he does indeed. But then we become a conduit of that blessing that we've received as we console others who might be going through a similar trial. And I found it so useful in my life to remember those moments that God showed up in my life. Right? Those moments, I mean, he's always showing up in our life, but those moments that are particularly highlighted because it was a time of distress or a time of reversal or a time of grief or a time of struggle or, you know, a time of doubt, or it was a time of trying to figure out what's my next step, Lord God, you know, where are you leading me? What do I do now? I'm not really sure. And God clarifies it for us. He shows us that, right? He comes to our rescue in that moment. We receive that grace. You know, the vision, our capacity to see into that moment is restored. We see God in that moment, And we know how to move forward in that movement. And I can think of that in when I lost my son, when I lost my late husband. I can think of that in reference to caring for my aging parents. I can think of that with regard to, the apostolate, apostolic life. You know, what is the next moment for Women of Grace? Where do you want me to take this, Lord? Is it this or is it that? Or Lord, here's two options that are presented. Which is the anointed one? You know, we don't want to do good works. We want to do anointed works. There's a difference. Good works come from our own, goodwill, which is it's a nice thing to do. I'm not saying it isn't nice, but it's not anointed. So it's not something that the Holy Spirit's inhabiting. It might be something we're inhabiting. So, I want to do the anointed works. Is this the anointed work or is that the anointed work? You know, help me to clarify this, Lord. And he comforts us in our afflictions. He gives us the way. He shows us the way. And then when somebody else is afflicted, we can offer that to them. And we should have those stories at the ready. You know, I can't tell you the numbers of times when, I've had grieving mothers come to me. Well, I know their pain. I can empathize with them, not just sympathize. I can empathize with them. I feel that pain. They mention their travail and immediately that sword enters my heart, the sword of losing my own son. I know that suffering. Well, God comforted me in that. He comforted me, and then I now can become a source of consolation for them. I can share with them that very grace that God gave to me. And so when I tell them, I understand what you're going through. This was my situation. And then immediately you can see a response in them. It's a visible response. You can see them relax. You can see the comfort coming into their face, just knowing that somebody else knows what they're dealing with, right? You can see it. There's a relaxation that takes place in their facial expression. Their eyes might fill with tears, but they're tears of gratitude as well as tears of grief. There's gratitude mixed in there, and it's a different kind of crying. It's a different kind of look in the eye in that moment. And you realize that's God. That's God showing up in this moment, in this person's life, because that reality of his consolation is being carried in the weak and feeble vessel who I am. Well, I'll bet you the same thing has happened to you time and time again. And this is the beautiful reality, right? This is scriptural. This is, and when I read that passage, maybe with new eyes, I'm sure I had read it in the past, but when I read it after my travails, especially that travail, I realized, no, there is something so precious about suffering this grief, because this can become a source of consolation for others. So you should have at the ready. You should have at the ready, though, stories. We talk about evangelization. Well, evangelization is the proclamation of the good news. And the good news sometimes comes by way of those moments in our own life where God has shown up. It's not always about doctrine and dogma. It is about being there. It's about being the presence of God, right, to that person in that moment. So it's a beautiful passage, and I'm just encouraging you to think about it for a moment and get that story at the ready. Maybe we can talk about those stories today. You don't know who's listening besides you, right? I don't know who's listening at this very moment, but it might be somebody that needs to hear your story. Your story can make a huge difference in their life today. So let's use this time together to be a source of edification and consolation in the lives of others who are suffering. When did God show up in your life? Let's talk about it. 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. Our phone lines are open. Matt Gabensky wants to hear from you. I want to hear from you. Our listeners want to hear from you. So give us a call right here. We're going to be right back. Stay tuned. Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Williams. I'm delighted to be with you today. We're talking about those moments in our life when, God shows up, we see him clearly, he's comforting us in whatever the affliction might be. It can be a very serious affliction. It might be just a little bump in the road, not something major, not a cavernous hole that we find ourselves in, but, just a little bump in the road. And I'm encouraging you because of what St. Paul tells us, and he tells us that God comforts us in all of our afflictions. afflictions, that we then might be a consolation to others. So, you know, if you have had God console you in a moment, whatever the moment might be, it might be releasing you from a doubt, releasing you from discouragement. It could be, you know, that you were suffering a great difficulty or trial in your life, and God was there for you. This is important to share because this helps other people to understand the way in which it is that God is always with us, and you become really a vessel. I'm going to use this term, although you know you're never going to be an angel because they're separate from human persons. But the fact of the matter is, you become an angel of mercy, you know, and your heart becomes a vessel that holds the mercy of God and spills it out into their life. And, you know, oftentimes that can become a very real turning point for them in their relationship with the Lord, as well as giving them hope in that moment. We were talking about hope yesterday. These things are all related. We have Rudy with us. Rudy is in San Antonio, Texas, listening to us via Guadalupe Radio Network. Hey, Rudy, I'm going to be out your way in San Antonio for the Fullness of Truth Conference, July 19th through the 21st. If you come, please do pop on over and say hello to me and tell me, this is Rudy from San Antonio. I called you. I'll be delighted to meet you.
Oh, yes, of course. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I called. It's more of a prayer intention than anything. I've been experiencing a lot of eye problems.
Okay.
I have chronic eye pain in my right eye.
Ooh.
Because of its dryness, it's like the best way to explain it. It's like you ever had like a hair splinter or a wood splinter in your finger.
Yes.
Like imagine that pain on your upper eyelid inside your eye.
Mm.
And it just really bugs me, and it gets to the point that my vision's okay when I wear contacts and glasses, but about it's just like I feel like it's like really difficult to just see, and I'm always squinting my eyes, and I can't really do much, and I'm in this new transition in my life where, like, I'm becoming a little bit more disabled in a way.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you a couple of questions, Rudy. I mean, have you been to the eye doctor yet or no?
Yes, I have, and that's another frustrating fact right there. It's like, I tell them about my problems, and most of the time, they just tell me to put eye drops on or other type of medication, and most of it doesn't work. And I try mostly anything. Like, I'm trying to eat better. I'm trying to, like, really massage my eyes to, like, produce tears, natural tears.
Yeah.
But it sometimes gives a little relief. But right now, I'm just, like, I'm not too sure what is God calling me in this pain I have, this valley of tears, I don't understand.
Well, Rudy, let's pray about this. And a correction here. I said that I was going to be there July 19th through the 21st. That would be a real trick since we're into August. So obviously, I'm going to be in San Antonio at the Fullness of Truth Conference in August, right? August. So I hope to see everybody there. You know, you're a contact lens wearer, right? Is that what I heard you say?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm a contact lens wearer, have been since I was 16 years old, which is a long time ago now. So I've worn lenses for many, many years, and we're into the world of soft lenses. But I remember with hard lenses that oftentimes you could actually lacerate your eye, you could cut it. And that is like a horrible sensation, and it sounds very much like what it is that you're going through now too. Where you just feel like there is, you know, a splinter in your eye and you can't get it out. That typically resolves in a couple of days, though. The eye is magnificent at healing itself. But this sounds like it's something of a more serious nature. So what I'd like to do with your permission is I would like to pray for healing for your eye. But in addition to that, I'd like to pray that you find a very good ophthalmologist. You need an ophthalmologist. I don't know if you're going to an optometrist or if you're going to an ophthalmologist, but you need somebody that has the capacity to, do a little deeper investigation and actually surgery if that's necessary. So I'm going to pray that you find a very good ophthalmologist there in the San Antonio area. So do you want me to pray with you?
Yes, of course.
Okay. All right. Well, we pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father God, we come before you in this moment, and we lift Rudy up to you. And Father, you know everything that's going on with his eye right now. You see the totality of it. You know exactly what the difficulty is, what the struggle is. And this is what I'm going to ask, Father. I'm going to ask that in your mercy, you restore Rudy's eye to the fullness of health. I ask, Father, that if this is a physiological issue that is causing this pain, which obviously it must be, I'm asking that you correct that portion of the eye that has function in this area. I ask, Father, that if his tear ducts are not working properly, that you would make them work properly. Any other aspect of the eye itself, Lord, that is causing this condition, I'm asking for a complete and total healing. I'm asking that the Holy Spirit now would radiate that eye with his healing mercy, with the power that only comes by way of the Trinitarian life, and that this eye itself would be fully restored to absolute wholeness, Lord, that all difficulty, all dysfunction, all malfunctioning would be removed through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I ask that complete health and well-being be restored to this eye. Father God, we know that oftentimes you choose to effect your wonders through the gift of medical science that you've given to us. You tell us that in sacred scripture, especially in the book of Sirach, that we are not to despise the physician. So we ask, Lord God, that you would bring to Rudy, that you would make known to him the ophthalmologist who is most capable of taking care of this issue, someone who perhaps has a specialty in this one kind of affliction of the eye. And I'm going to call upon the intercession of St. Lucy, who is the patron saint of eyes. And we ask you, St. Lucy, through your beautiful, beautiful purity of heart, and through the gift of your sanctity, to make your way to the throne of God and to intercede for Rudy and for all of those that are listening today that are suffering from eye problems, from glaucoma, from macular degeneration, all of those that are suffering from blindness, those individuals who are suffering from similar conditions that Rudy is describing here, all of those, Lord God, that are having trouble with their tear ducts, all of those that are having trouble with the cornea of their eye, the retina of their eye, any kind of way in which eyes are afflicted, I'm asking you, St. Lucy, to please intercede for them, and I'm asking you, Father God, in your mercy and your love for your people, that you would restore their physical vision. But Father, I'm asking this, that this physical vision would be the sense that you use in a heightened way in them to lead them to you. And so it is, Father, that even as I'm asking for the restoration of sight to the eyes, I'm asking for a restoration of spiritual insight, for their spiritual eyes to be able to see more clearly, to be able to see you in the midst of all circumstances and situations. And Rudy says, Lord, that he doesn't understand this affliction that you've entrusted to him. And this is what I do know, Lord. I do know that you offer to each of us a portion of your cross, and sometimes this portion comes packaged in diverse ways. We know that there's no cross that you give us to carry that's not perfectly fitted for us. And so I ask that Rudy, for the duration of the time that this remains, for the duration of the time that this remains, because we're praying for complete and total healing, either through the hands of a physician, Lord, or through an instantaneous healing or a progressive healing. I really don't care as long as there's healing. But the fact of the matter is, Lord, that for the duration of time that you entrust the suffering to him, that he sees this, you know, and even envision it this way, Rudy, that you know, our Lord was nailed to the cross. That cross was wooden. Think about the splinters that entered into his body. And now just picture that maybe the pressure from one of the thorns on from his crown of thorns pierced into his eye. I want you to picture that now as this difficulty with your eye. You say it feels like a splinter. Well, let's just now look at this spiritually and say, Father God, you know, you are offering me a splinter from your own son's cross, perhaps even a thorn from his crown of thorns. concerns. You're offering this to me now, Lord, to carry, to make consolation, to in some way console our Lord in his suffering, but also as a means through which you, with my offering this in union with that specific suffering of our Lord, can become a conduit of grace for many other souls in the world today. And so for the duration of time that the Lord entrusts this to you, Rudy, ask the Lord to help you to have these spiritual eyes to see it that way. And then in joining your suffering to the cross of our Lord, instead of filling you with travail, worry, concern, doubt, the questioning, discouragement, whatever it is that the evil one would seek to use this to prevail against you, look at it rather with joy and with confidence in the Lord, praising him and thanking him that he's calling you into this area, this one suffering, this one affliction of his as he hung on the cross. And this will become for you nonetheless painful, but it will certainly become for you a more joyful moment as long as this pain endures. But we are asking, Lord God, for a complete and total healing through the intercession of St. Lucy, who is the patroness of eyes. And it is, Father, that we do offer this prayer to you in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the merits of his cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and with the maternal beatitude and intercession of our Blessed Lady. Amen. Rudy, thank you. And please do, I would be so appreciative if you would continue to keep in touch with us and let us know how your eye is doing. And if you find a very good doctor who can, if he be the instrument the Lord desires to use, be the one to bring you to the comfort that I know he wants you to use, to experience rather. But don't lose this time. Use this time and use this time well, okay?
Thank you so much. I need to hear this. It brings good tears to my eyes. Really, it feels good. Oh. Thank you.
You're so welcome, Rudy. May God be praised for that. And I'll tell you what, you're going to win souls for the kingdom by uniting this to his cross. This is why he allows us to be afflicted in the first place. You know, I make up in my own body what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ for the sake of his body, the church, St. Paul writes to us in Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. So praise be to God for that. So let me just say this. We have Dennis in New York. He is a longtime listener. He's with us via social media. He says, if any of you want to learn more about your Catholic faith, the Knights of Columbus offer free online classes, many of which are recorded and can be taken at your convenience. Hey, Dennis, thank you for that heads up. That's very, very helpful to know. So get out there to the Knights of Columbus website and you can take one of these free online classes and learn about your faith. We need to be lifelong learners of the faith because we're not going to be able to learn all about it in this life. we'll get to see the fullness of it in the next. But here, all we can do is learn as much as we can so that we might appreciate the fullness of truth that is ours by way of our Catholic Church. Let's get to Catherine. Catherine is a first-time caller in Florida. If you're a first-time caller, do let us know so we can ring our bell, like I'm doing now, to welcome you to the program for your debut. Hey, Catherine in Florida.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for taking my question. I guess it's a question and a comment, and that understand very much that sense. I know for myself, when somebody acknowledges to me that, not that they say, oh, I know exactly how you feel, but that they have experienced something like that, or that they have been there, I find that very helpful. And yet we're kind of in this world now where you're not supposed to say that. You're not supposed to say, because that if you start talking or if you mention it, you're somehow turning the conversation around about ourselves instead of where they are. I guess my question is how to best approach that, because I think people do need that. I know there's been several times where I know I said to the gentleman, was it Luke, that got us set up for the call, and that, you know, I understand that your first husband died, mine did too. If I did not know that, I mean, even though I don't know you, there's a connection there that makes it easier to talk sometimes about things than when you see someone and you think, oh, well, you know, they've had this rosy life, they have no idea, and that type of thing. And I know a lot of times it's just sitting in silence with them, because I've had that happen too when I worked as a chaplain at a hospital where, you know, one person kind of tried to chase me away. He's like, I don't need you. I don't want to pray. I'm like, we don't have to pray. I'm thinking, yeah, but I'm praying. But anyhow, I'm thinking, we don't have to pray. Sit here with you, because you're alone, your family's not here, so on and so forth. And at the end of that time, I mean, it was actually about 2 weeks that we went through some things with his family, and he called me aside and then said, "I appreciate you staying." Now, again, you know, that, but if I hadn't realized, you know, what was going on, or if I'd had someone else to say, "Oh yeah, he's fine, don't worry about him," type thing. So I guess, how do we approach that, that we can let someone know that, you know, that knows we don't feel, we don't know exactly what they're going through, but that we maybe have had some kind of a similar experience, that we can sit with them in some understanding.
Yeah. Well, Catherine, I think that's an excellent question. And I think that the evil one is a great deceiver, and he would like to shut us up because he doesn't want consolation to come to people, especially when it's consolation that we're offering that's come from an experience of God in our own lives that has the capacity then to help them to have hope and faith in God. He does not want that. We live in a very, very strange time where good is evil and evil is good. And what the world calls good, we know to be an evil. So we have to be very careful about the way in which we translate what we hear from the world into our actions, because in most cases, they're not going to be in our best interest or in the best interest of others. And to be specific, I think that there's a couple of guidelines that we can use here. First of all, if the person opens up their heart to us about their travail, it's obviously an invitation to us to be able to share, to be able to talk with them. And if we have experienced something similar to them, to tell our story is not looking, I mean, our motivation is important in this. When we're telling the story here is about the person, because our desire is to bring them consolation. So it's not for us to bring the attention to ourselves and our own misery. It's really to take our misery and offer it as a gift to the other, where they can find a companionship of heart, because we do know, we empathetically know what they are going through. And I think we tell our story, it gives them permission to tell their story and to express to us maybe things that they wouldn't normally express to anybody else, maybe fear, maybe discouragement in God, you know, and it offers us an opportunity to truly do ministry, to truly evangelize them in these areas where they need that help and that insight. You hear that music. I'm going to hold on that one, but I've got a couple of other points that I want to make. So I'm going to ask you to hold, Catherine. Elaine, we're going to come to you next. I'm inviting you to give us a call, friends, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way you can join us. Social media, EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. We're coming right back. Stay with us.
Encouraging women in their gift of authentic femininity. Here's more Women of Grace with Johnette Williams.
Welcome back, everybody. It's good to have you with us today. We're inviting you to give us a call here, toll-free in North America. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Also available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. We're inviting you to take advantage of that opportunity and to leave a comment for us in the chat feature on either one of those two places. In either case, we're going to retrieve it and get it up on the board and I can address it. We've got Matt Kabensky on the phones today, and he's very, very happy to take your call. We've got Ace filling in for Jeff today, and we're happy to have him producing the program for us. Great big thank you, Ace, for serving Women of Grace in this beautiful way and beautiful capacity. We have Catherine on the phone, and Catherine has been sharing with us and asking, I think, a very good question. You know, how is it that we can, in a compassionate way, share our stories with others without making it all about ourselves? And how is it that, you know, we overcome this tendency today where, you know, we are being told, you know, you really can't say certain things to people, you know, because they might not understand it. It might offend them. Or, you know, they're going to, you know, you're kind of trespassing on some privacy there. So, Catherine, I was mentioning to you that, you know, motivation is important when we're telling our story. Our purpose here is to be a consolation to the person, not to shine the spotlight on ourselves or to expect them to console us in our misery. But we want to be there as a consoler, especially if we've suffered that travail and that travail is one that we've learned from and is a little bit more distant, a little bit more remote than their immediate grief. And just our very, you know, comment that, listen, I know it's very, very hard. It's one day at a time, but you can make it through. I made it through and didn't think I could make it through, but I made it through with the grace of God. And I know he's here for you and you're going to make it through with him. And then offer a prayer. Say, may I pray with you right on the spot there? And, you know, don't wait. It's nice to say, I'll put you in my prayers. That's a nice thing to do. But if we can pray on the spot, which is one of the things I try to do on this program, it's better still because they get to hear that prayer. And that prayer then is already working. So we have that. The other thing is, this is a big evangelistic tool, period. You know, we don't impose the faith, we propose the faith. So even in these situations, we don't impose upon the person. We don't impose upon them. We just let them know that we're there for them if they need us, you know, that we are there for them if they need us and when they need us. Many times I would say to grieving moms, I would give them my cell phone number and I would tell them, and I still do this, you know, call me. I don't care what time of the day or night. I know 3 o'clock in the morning was the worst time for me when I was grieving my son and my late husband. You know, you wake up in the middle of the night and the evil one's doing a number on you, you pick up the phone and call me. I don't care if you wake me up. It doesn't really matter. We'll pray together. You know, we'll spend some time on the phone together. And I've had numbers of them that have taken up that offer. And it's a beautiful thing because you are there at their weakest moment and they know that they're not alone. And that's the very point that you made with this other gentleman. I think it was a gentleman that you really were gift to just by your presence. And that's the other thing. Know when to shut up. You know when to shut up and just sit with a person. And if we've not, especially if we've not experienced anything that they're going through, you know, we can't pretend. You don't say, I know how you feel, because you don't. You know, before I lost Simon, you know, I didn't know what it was like to lose a child. I didn't have knowledge of that. I thought it was terrible. It was nothing I even wanted to think about. It terrified me to think about it. But then God entrusted that cross to me, and I learned so much from it. I can say that, but, you know, somebody, I haven't had cancer. I don't know what it's like to have cancer. I know what it's like to have cancer by observation. I know what it's like to have to be someone who loves an individual who has cancer and wants the best for them. But the actual travail of it, I don't know that in my own body. So I can't say I know how you feel because I don't. But what I can say is, I just want to be present with you. I just want to be here with you. So I think that you did a good job in that situation. I don't know if any of those little points help you, but that's what I would do.
Very, very, very good. I appreciate that very much. I do. Yeah.
So. Well, I'm glad, Catherine. And I think it's important for us to know these things because oftentimes, you know, we'll avoid people. That was the other thing that my late husband and I learned after we lost our son. I mean, you know, it was like we developed leprosy. Nobody wanted to be near us. Why? Because we were living their worst nightmare. I get it, but it's not contagious. I'm just telling people it's not contagious. So the fact of the matter is just the gift of your presence. And those that stood by us through that time, an outrageously amazing gift. And I have my Women of Grace staff to thank in spades for that, among a certain family and certain friends who just hung in there with us and were present to us. So, Catherine, thank you. Thank you for having such a beautiful, tender, spiritually motherly heart, you know, just wanting to be that gift to others. It's a beautiful grace that God's given you.
Well, thank you. And thank you very much for your program. You do so much.
Oh, well, may God be praised for that. He uses cracked pots sometimes to carry his graces. Let's get to Elaine. Elaine is in Oklahoma, all the way out there. It makes me want to sing a song. How are you doing, Elaine?
Not very good. My husband had a stroke, and he's bleeding in the brain. And I just would like for a prayer for him.
Sure.
We have a dog, and this the dog you hear in the background is his. And he's missing his owner. And anyway, I just want you to pray for him right quick.
Oh, sure. I'm going to pray for him and for you. What is his name, Elaine?
Mark.
Mark. Okay. And I understand. And what caused this? He had a severe stroke and it's caused a brain bleed. Is that it?
Bleeding. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
And
is
he's on a... No, he go. Isn't. He's
okay.
On a ventilator. Right.
Okay. Okay. All right. Oh, Father God, we come before you in this moment. And first, before we pray for Mark, Lord, I want to lift up your daughter, Elaine. Father, you can hear the travail in her voice, and she has reason to be travailing here. Her husband, whom she loves, is suffering, Lord. And you know that through the sacrament of matrimony, we are made one flesh. And what one suffers, the other begins to experience as well. Not in exactly the same way, but in this symbiotic way that comes about through this union of man and woman. Father God, I ask right now that you would send angels of mercy to your daughter Elaine to comfort her in this trial. And I'm calling upon you, our dear blessed mother. You understand grief to an extent that none of us can understand it, because you experienced it purely. You experienced it completely. You experienced it to the nth degree. Mother, we know that you know what it is like to watch your husband suffer. You watched your spouse, Saint Joseph, suffering in some way as he came to that moment of passage from this life to the next. Mother, I know that this consolation that God gave to you by way of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, true God and true man, who was at your side, and by way of all of those blessings that floated down from the will of the Father through your spouse, the Holy Spirit, I know that you gathered all of those graces into your most immaculate heart, that you might share the very graces that you received in that moment with all of us. As we travail, as we suffer, as we sit at this crossroad, this intersection of life where loved ones are hanging between this world and the next. So, Father, this is what I'm asking. I'm asking that through the Holy Spirit, our Blessed Lady and her maternal beatitude is able to be with Elaine in a very special way. And I'm asking, Lord, that Elaine would know that Our Lady is with her through an intuitive understanding. I'm not asking for an apparition from Our Lady. I'm not asking for mystical experiences or anything like that. What I am asking for, however, is this certitude of faith, where she knows that Our Lady is with her, and that she is with her by way of your perfect will and your provision, and by way of the power of the Holy Spirit. And now we turn to her husband, Mark, with that acknowledgement that the Holy Spirit is all powerful, that you, God, are omnipotent, that you have all power, that there is no limitation to your power, there is no limitation to your mercy, there is no limitation to your knowledge, there is no limitation in you or in any way whatsoever. We know that there is no limitation to your presence, but that you are immediately present, and we are immediately present to you at every moment of the day, that you have us in your eyes. Father God, it says in sacred scripture that your eyes are always on us. I don't know how this is possible, but I know that your eye is always on us individually and specifically 24/7 without stop all the days of our lives. Your eyes right now are on Mark. Father God, this is what I'm asking. I'm asking that through that omniscient gaze of yours that is filled with the fullness of life, through that omniscient gaze of yours that is full of all knowledge, through that omniscient gaze of yours that is full of all power, that omniscient gaze of yours that is full of all mercy, I'm asking that your omniscient gaze upon your Son at this very moment, your eyes beholding him in this moment, that all of this power, all of this might, all of this mercy would be efficacious in this moment, Lord. I'm asking for complete and total healing. I dare to ask that because nothing's impossible with you. And I have absolute and full assurance in you and full confidence in you, Lord. And you can do all things. And I'm asking for the all-thingedness to be done now. I'm asking that this man be healed, Lord God. And I'm asking that there be no residual effects from this stroke. Now, during this time of his travail, Lord, even in this time now where he is not conscious, in terms of what we can measure, I know, Father God, I know that his soul is fully cognizant, even though his mind might not be at this moment, his soul is fully cognizant that there is an intuitive reality of you right there, right now. And we don't know what's going on in his soul, but I think that maybe you and he are sorting a whole lot of stuff out right now, Lord. And I'm asking that this time would not be fallow time, that it would be very, very fruitful time. Fruitful time, Lord, in this moment where he's been made low, that this time just be filled with abundant blessing for him and for others, and that you're sorting through what needs to be sorted through, Lord God. And we're asking for full and total restoration spiritually, full and total restoration physically, and I'm asking that the confidence of our Blessed Lady, one of the great saints said, I think it's Louis de Montfort, but I'm not 100% sure, but I think that it might be, said this, Elaine. It's a beautiful thing. You know, hope and faith are only necessary in this life because we don't see God in this life. We're hoping for things unseen, right? That's what faith is all about. And we're trusting in God, even though we're trusting blindly because we don't see. So hope and faith are attentive to us in this world. We don't need them in the next life because, you know, we're going to see. We're going to see fully. So we don't need them there. The one thing that's going to endure is love, however. Love is never going to die. And to the extent that we love today, to that extent, will we be able to be filled with the love of God in eternal life. But I do believe it's St. Louis de Montfort made the statement that our Blessed Mother, when no longer needing hope and faith, has asked Father God that she might hold on to hope and faith, that she might dispense her hope and her faith upon her children. And so that's what I'm praying for, Elaine. I'm praying that Our Lady would give you her hope and her faith, not the hope and faith that you can muster on your own, but the hope and faith that came that Our Blessed Lady had, because it was to perfection in Our Blessed Lady, to perfection in her. So I'm asking for that. I'm asking that Our Lady take you into her Immaculate Heart where that hope and faith resides, and she bathes you in it, that you might have hope and faith and confidence that no matter the outcome of the situation, God is working it to the good. We're asking for complete and total healing, but we want to surrender as Our Lady did to the will of God in this moment, knowing that God has all things in his hand, that he works all things to the good for those who are called according to his purposes, and that he's working all of those good things according to his purpose now. So that's the prayer, Father. We offer it up to you. I lift Elaine up to you. I lift Mark up to you. We're asking for this prayer in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the merits of his cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and with the maternal beatitude and intercession of our Blessed Lady. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, sweetie.
I really do.
Okay.
Go ahead. To come to God. He wanted to become Catholic this past year. He's not Catholic. He's not. He's never been baptized. And I just pray that God will give him another chance.
Oh, baby, listen, I'm so glad you told me this. Listen, he doesn't need another chance. You take advantage of this chance. The desire was in his heart to be baptized. You can call a priest of the church to come and baptize him. He can be baptized right this minute. The desire was there. It was an expressed desire. You can share that with the priest that he was going to, you know, enroll in RCIA classes this year. So there, please do that. And I mean, he can give him the sacrament right then. He can receive our Lord. And if he can't receive our Lord, you know, through the host, then the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. I remember that when my husband Anthony was dying, Father Edmund Sylvia, who actually moved into our house and was there with him, he every morning we would celebrate Mass, and Anthony was in a coma, and every morning Father would dip his finger into the precious blood, and he would rub it into Anthony's gums. Your husband can receive viaticum. So please, as soon as we hang up, you call your parish priest and tell him, get a priest over there.
Okay, I will.
Okay.
I'm going to
okay.
ask my priest. Thank
yes.
you so much for this.
You're welcome, baby. And what consolation that's going to bring to you, too. And listen, we just don't know how God will work through that sacrament. So let's pull out all the stops for Mark, okay?
Okay. Wait, I will. Thank you so much for praying for me. I appreciate it. It's been very helpful.
You're welcome, darling. God bless you now. So, friends, listen, I just want to ask that we be prayer supporters for Elaine, okay? This is a rough time. You can hear it in her voice. Even the dog, you know, is barking at this. And I remember our dog, Mercy, she, you know, after Anthony passed away and the hospital bed was removed from the house, which was immediately removed from the house, that dog just went and laid where that hospital bed had been. You know, our pets, you know, dogs and, you know, creatures like that, they have a sense for what's happening. They They do have emotions. So anyway, all that being said, let's be prayer supporters for Elaine. Let's pray for her. Let's pray for Mark. Let's pray that a priest is able to get there immediately, because we just don't know in these situations, right? To take advantage of this opportunity to make this desire to be baptized is very real. And I do believe that if a person has that desire, you know, baptism by desire is a very real thing, right? But if we can make it happen, in this moment, that, oh my, that would be grand. So I'm going to ask you all, let's just pray Hail Mary together right now. Let's just do that. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So Father God, we're offering this Hail Mary, through the intercession of our Blessed Lady for Mark, and that a priest is able to get there and able to baptize this man. Oh, Father God, we're just begging you for this, because how wonderful it would be. And I know that more than we want it, you want it, Father. So I know that you will hear this plea as we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Mary, help of Christians, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I just want to read to you some words. We're have a little bit of time here. We've got time for another caller if you want to call in. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. I've been reading to you from Divine Intimacy this week, and it's on the virtue of hope. And I think that, you know, all of the calls that we've received today really underscore the need for this virtue. And I want to read to you what Father Gabriel of St. Mary Magdalene puts in this meditation. For those of you that have Divine Intimacy, it's meditation 249. And it's called Boundless Hope. And it says this: St. Thomas Aquinas, teaches us that man can never love God as much as he should be loved. Neither can he believe and hope in him as much as he ought. That is why we can say that the measure of hope in God is to hope without measure. Our hope, our confidence in God, can never be excessive or exaggerated, because it is founded on God's mercy, which has no limits. If we sincerely try to do everything we can to please God, we need not fear that our hope in him can be too great. His helpful power and his desire for our good, for our sanctification, infinitely is so pleasing to God that the more hope we have, the more he overwhelms us with favors. And we are praying hope without measure today for all of these intentions that have come in. The more the soul hopes, the more it attains. Did you hear that? And this is from St. John of the Cross. The more the soul hopes, the more it attains. Why? Because hope and trust are linked together. They're like a married couple. They're linked together. When you have hope, you trust in God. Hope is an expression of that trust in God, right? So the more the soul hopes, the more it attains. I love that. St. Therese of the Child, Jesus, making this thought her own, said, "We can never have too much confidence in the good God who is so powerful and so merciful. We obtain from him as much as we hope for." Do you hear that? We attain from God as much as we hope for. And when we hope according to the will of God, we can be certain that that hope will be accomplished. It will be fulfilled. It will happen when we hope according to the will of God. Now, what we've prayed for today has been according to the will of God. We have prayed according to the will of God. And this is so very important, because once we trust in God, once we have hope in God, once we have faith in God, we know that he only wills the good. It is completely impossible for him to will anything other than the good, because he is all good. So he can only will good. If he were to will anything other than good, he would be contradictory to himself. He would exist no more, and neither would we. The very fact that we exist in this moment, the very fact that the world is still kept in its orbit, that very fact assures us of the fact that God wills only the good, or else we wouldn't exist. We wouldn't be here. He would be gone, so would we. But God is not gone. God is infinitely connected to his people, to his creation, to that which he gives to us. So when we pray according to the will of God, we're trusting that God's will is always about the good. Even if we cannot register that because the travail is so difficult for us, the fact is that God is always about a good. He's going to work a good out of it. Perhaps a good, as Thomas Aquinas tells us, that could not have been worked had the situation not occurred in the first place, or that he is, that he is preventing a greater evil from occurring. And you know, I've had occasion in my own life to reflect upon that reality and to realize that, you know, even in the death of my son, I know that God was working a good that might not have been accomplished had he not lost his life in that very moment. Knowing that the greater good, God was about the greater good. And what was that greater good? The eternal salvation of my boy. And that's what I want, his eternal salvation above all things, right? So never despair in God. Never give up hope in God. Align your trust in God. You know, ask him to increase your faith in him, that you might have that confident assurance that Thérèse of Lisieux had, that John of the Cross has, that we're all trying to aspire to. Hope in God, trust in God, no matter what the travail is, he is there with you and he's working things to the good. We simply need to place ourselves in the midst of his holy will. Been great being with you today. I'm going to be back with you again tomorrow, and I'm really looking forward to it. Until then, may God richly bless you. Bye-bye now.